Lord, we just want to stop now and say thank you that your word is eternal and that it never returns void. It always achieves your purposes. So our desire today and my prayer is that we will all keep our hearts open to receive your word, and particularly at this moment when Andrew opens it up again, that your spirit will quicken it and give it life and bring fruit from it within our own hearts and lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here you go, mate. Go for it.
Thank you. I'm aware that it's 11:05. Is that all right? And I have trouble preaching for less than half an hour. But because we're into freedom here, if you want to leave at any time, you're free to leave. There's no place like home, is what God put on my heart to share today. The phrase grabbed me, which is funny because, you know, the 1939 movie, I watched a bit of it this week. I've never seen the whole thing because, you know, the one with, what's her name? Yeah, Wizard of Oz, Dorothy. Anyway, the 1939, that's her. The 1939 version, I think I saw bits of it as a kid and it was scary, so I stopped watching it and never watched it again. But it's that phrase that caught me. And we'll have a little glimpse of it at the end because a few points I want to drag out of that. I think it captured me because there's something profound about, you know, when, I don't know, when there's a movie or there's a, you get these catchphrases that just seem to put into words what, because it's hard to put things into words, isn't it? So sometimes things just fall into the right place. And so I want to ask, what does it mean? There's no place like home. Why does that phrase kind of capture us? What does it stir up in our hearts? It's a bit like our vision statement, which I believe was given to us by the Holy Spirit, bringing my community home. What does it mean? What does it stir up in us? And I've certainly seen it stir up some stuff in us over the last few months since we were able to articulate that. I believe key to the phrase is the word home. What an emotive word, hey? Home. What happens for you when you hear the word home? For some of us, it stirs feelings of love and nurture. For others, feelings of pain, memories that are difficult. For others, maybe a longing for something you believe is out there somewhere but haven't discovered yet. This morning, I want to focus on that word home and what I believe it may mean. Because I don't believe home is as much a place as it is a connection. A connection first and foremost to God, and secondly, but importantly, to his people. Home is connection. So there's no place like home. There's a handout on your seat if you want to follow through and fill in the blanks. There's no place like home because home is where I find connection. Now, I just wanted to leave these points like that. So each of my three points just like that. And I could have put with God and others. So just assume that, can you? Is that all right? Because that's when I'm talking about each point. I'm talking about with God and with others. And I'm kind of emphasizing the part that's with God. So home is where I find connection. John 14:23, Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them." Fascinating verse. Now, there's only two places in the Bible, that Greek word, the original language the Bible was written in, the New Testament was written in ancient Greek. There's only two places that ancient Greek word was used, and it's both in chapter 14 of John. I just found that fascinating. The other place was verse 2 of the chapter, where it says, "In my Father's house," Jesus said, "are many mansions." Or dwellings. This idea of relationship is not a temporary relationship, as some translations use the phrase, "make our abode." So some translations will say, "We will come and make our abode with them." It's a figurative expression implying that God and Christ would manifest themselves in no temporary way. Isn't that good? God, when God comes to us, when we open our lives to Him, it's never in God's mind that it's temporary. I don't know about you, I can be flaky. I can be moody. Some of you have experienced that, right? But God doesn't have bad days. God doesn't get up on the wrong side of the bed. And when He comes to us, He's not saying, well, I think I want a relationship, not sure. Even today, the one relationship in our world that's supposed to show the commitment of God, marriage, doesn't really show that. And divorce rates are massive. And so we go, will you marry me? Until things get tough. Well, see, God's not like that. God says, will you marry me? And I'm not going anywhere. It's not a temporary deal. He's not inviting us home for a holiday. He's inviting us home for good. The Father and Son would take up their residence in the heart of their dwelling place as a temple fit for their abode. You know, I know it's weird, but it seems weird. But, you know, as Christians, we celebrate the blood of Christ. Seems a weird thing. I remember a mate of mine came after church, said, oh, mate, you want to go out to the movies? And I was in my, you know, Salvation Army formal uniform, and on the things it said, blood and fire. I love that about Salvation Army, the blood of Jesus and the fire of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't know that. He just read blood and fire. He goes, what's this, some kind of weird Nazi regime? Like he thought it's a weird cult. He didn't know. And it's important that we know the power of the blood. Jesus shed blood on the cross is what gives us access. It's the reason when we accept what Jesus done on the cross, that then the Father and Son can come and make their home with us by their Spirit. That's why the blood is so important. And there's two Paul points in Corinthians. There's two verses there. You are the temple of the temple of God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing that God of the universe would come and want to live in me, in you? Sometimes we don't even want to live with each other. But God wants to not just live with you, He wants to live in you. How amazing is that? Because of what Jesus has done. God wants to come into relationship with us and make His home, permanent home with us. He wants to have deep connection with us. When we love and obey God, we feel His influence. That's also what this is saying. The Christian is under the influence of God. I don't know about you, but I've been under the influence of a few interesting things over the years. Most of them unhelpful. But what about being under the influence of God when He comes to make His home with us? When He comes and we allow Him to connect with us? He brings the influence of love. He brings the influence of peace and joy and forgiveness. He has amazing influence. He rejoices, and we're then able to rejoice in His presence. We end up with His views, His feelings, His joys. I'll never forget, I think it was a week after I'd given my life back to God. So I got away from God for about 3 years, gave my heart back to God, just quietly in church by myself one day. I was sitting in a crowd, and it happened, and I knew something had happened. The next week, we went off to this youth conference, which back in the day was called Youth Councils, and I don't know what was going on, but I ended up having to sit with the officer's wife in the front of her car. And luckily, I'd given my life to Jesus the week before, because she was one of these people that come up to you and say, how are you today? Spiritually, I mean. So you avoided her at every chance you got. So here I am, and my mate didn't help either, because back in the day, I think they had an XC Falcon in the 70s, you know, with the bench seat. And of course, my mate pushes me into the middle. So I'm sitting right next to her. She's driving from Brisbane back to Nambour. And of course, she says, did you go down the front? Yeah, to the mercy seat. Did you go down the front today, tonight? You know what I said? I loved it. God had given me an answer. I said, I didn't have to. Because I knew the week before, sitting in church, when the Spirit of God came to me and asked me to surrender my life to him, I did. And that something changed. I knew things were different. There was a connection that I hadn't had for 3 years. There's no place like home when home is where I find connection. There's no place like home when home is where I find kindness. I was thinking about, you know, I hear people say, oh, I just don't feel connected. I thought, what helps us feel connected? It's so important. Seems such an important thing. And as I thought about it and prayed about it and sought the scriptures, I think one of the things that invites connection is kindness. And so here's this verse, Romans 2:4. Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, God's kindness, his forbearance and patience, not realizing that it's God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance? God's kindness in this verse particularly is in regards to our past sin. He has been good to us because he has not judged us even though we deserved it. Knowing that God wants to be in relationship with us. Sometimes I can't even read my own writing. That's why I just make it up as I go, I think. Actually, it's amazing I'm even standing here this morning. I'm so tired. Knowing that God wants to be in relationship with us. Because of our pride and willfulness and our sin, it's impossible. Okay, that's what I wanted to say. God actually wanted something impossible. Isn't it good that God is the God of the impossible? Because God wanted a relationship with us, right? And because of our pride and independence, which the Bible calls sin, it's really just, you know, I want to do what I want to do when I want to do it. That's sin. That's really what it is, pride, independence. That made it impossible for us to have a relationship with God. But God wasn't put off by that because he's the God of the impossible. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross. It's his kindness. It says, no matter though this looks impossible, I still want a relationship with you. And I'll do whatever it takes to have that relationship. He made a way through Jesus, showing us kindness to come home. That's why I love that verse. Do you not show contempt? Yeah, when someone shows us kindness and we don't receive it, it's like showing contempt, isn't it? Yeah. It's important that we don't show contempt for the cross. Jesus didn't have to come. He didn't have to. It's only a week or so ago, and you know, I was having a bad morning. Feels like we've been cleaning our old house for 1,000 years. And I'm exhausted. And one morning, I don't know what I was doing. Anyway, might have been coming back from the family. But if you want good coffee, go to Bell & Co. just up at Long Jetty there. That's amazing coffee, right? Well, in my opinion. So I'm coming back and I thought, you know, and I love Roxy's and I go to Roxy's. But, you know, when I'm coming this way, I'm going to stop at Bell & Co. And I went in there and I was wearing my jeans and my Salvo T-shirt. And I just went in, I just want a coffee. And so I went in. And someone was before me, and I'm standing there. And then the guy goes, oh, you're working today. He didn't say anything else. He looked at my T-shirt. He said, you working today? You know, somewhere between Christmas and New Year. I said, yeah, I had to come in and do a few things, whatever I was doing. And then he said, oh, this one's free. And you know when you're having a hard day and someone's kind, well, then I'm standing in the stinking cafe trying to hold my crap together because I wanted to sob like a baby. Because kindness has that ability to cut through our hard, hurting hearts and go, yes. It's like a healing balm. Anyway, I managed to pull it together and not look at anyone and get my coffee and get out of there, but it amazes me the power of kindness. If we can just see it, if we can just receive it, if we can just see how kind God is, and we can receive it. When I first left home, my mum made it very easy for me to come home. I moved an hour away to Brisbane. And when I had a key, I had a front door key. I don't know whether this is the right thing to do or not. I probably won't do it with my kids. For 4 years, I had a front door key while I lived in Brisbane and didn't live at home. And I could go home any time I wanted. Mum and Dad, in their kindness, made it easy for me to go home. And on top of that, when I'd bring my two surfy mates home Friday night at 1 o'clock in the morning, we'd bunk down and then we'd get up about 8 o'clock in the morning to go for a surf because we weren't really that committed. Mum would make us breakfast. She didn't have to make us breakfast. But it made it easy not only for me to come home, but my mates to come with me. Can we see that when we see the kindness of God, it just doesn't make it easy for us to come home to Him. It makes it easy for our mates to come home to Him, is the point I'm trying to make. There's no place like home because home's where I find kindness. There's no place like home because home's where I find care. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. Peter tells us about God's concern for us. Cares is the Greek verb which means an object of care. You know, you are the object of God's care. I don't think we feel that enough. I don't think we stop. You know, the greatest strategy of the devil is to make you so busy you don't stop to face who God really is and who you really are. Devil's doing pretty good in our world, isn't he? So we just need to slow down. I know it's scary, but it's worth it. God Himself is concerned for your welfare. God Himself wants you to be whole and healthy. God Himself feels your pain. He's not distant and unfeeling. He feels your sadness. God Himself paid the penalty for our sins, and He set us free from condemnation. God Himself cares for you and cares for me. Now, some of you have heard this story, but I want to put a different take on it today. I was at the Salvos Discipleship School in 1992, 22 years old, and I was getting in touch with my codependency, and I felt like no one cared. No one cares. And when I was reflecting on this the other day, this story, and, you know, the story goes, I jumped out the window and drove up to Swansea Heads and encountered God and realized that God cares and I need Him first and people second. That's what I learned. But the other day when I was reflecting on this, this was a fresh learning or revelation I got out of this situation. All those people that day that I thought didn't care about me, 30 years later have been my lifelong friends. Wow. 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 There was caring people all around me that day. And because of my pain, I couldn't see them. 30 years later, I can give testimony that they are caring people. They've proven it time and time again. Friends, you have, because God is faithful, caring people all around you. Just ask God to open your eyes to see them. They're there. That day I couldn't see them. Too often we can't see them because God cares and He sends people who care. It's a pity I didn't open myself up to their care that day. I'm glad I opened myself up to God's care that day. You shouldn't sit on the front row, mate, because you know I'm just going to use you for illustrations all the time. Is that all right? Is he? Okay. I don't even know if this is going to work, but I think it looks like this, right? Sorry? I'm going to make this like the barrier, right? You can be God because, you know, you're awesome like that. The care, it's got to be a two-way thing, right, I believe. Even we can care for God, right? If you go back to John 14, 23, wherever it was. Love and obey. It says, who loves me will obey my teaching. That's us caring about God. So if you don't think you can care about God, you can care about God, right? So you care for me, you reach out to me, just reach out, that's all right. Yeah, with a hand. And I can receive that, right? Or not, right? It becomes a connection point. And then I can, through, you know, as a person, I can reach back to God through worship and obedience, and there's a connection point. So back and forward, there's this connection, right? But if only one's reaching and no one's responding, nothing's, there's no connection. Does that make sense? That's right. I think God feels like that often, right? And we can trust that whenever we reach out to Him, He's always going to be there. He's always going to be there. And when we're in our stuff, He's always reaching out. Often is we're just looking this way. And we just need to turn around and realize that He's right there. And we can touch Him. And that He wants to touch us. Is that okay? Thanks, mate. You did awesome as usual. All right, let's watch this video, hey? Just a few minutes and I'll cut it off somewhere after she said what she needs to say. How good is that? There's a few things I just want to draw out of that. First of all, Dorothy felt that she'll never get home. Hey, that's a lie. And the other thing the fairy godmother said is, you've always had the power to go home. You know what? You've always had the open door to come home to God. Jesus died. You know what? Even before Jesus died, God was put His hand out in relationship to people. The opportunity's always been there. It's just that often we haven't believed that we had the power to come home. This morning I'm praying that you see that you can come home to God. You can be home. You can stay home because God wants you to. It's as simple as connecting with Jesus, receiving His kindness, His care, and accepting His invitation to make our home with Him. Now, I'm very aware of the time, but this is what I'd love us to do. What are we doing for the worship song? Oh, that sounds good. All right, this is what I want us to do, okay? If you got, you know, we don't have to take long to do this. But if you struggle to feel connection, I know this is super scary, I just want to invite you to come and kneel at the front. And if you're someone who feels connection with God at the moment and connection with people, you're feeling connected. That's nothing. There's no feeling like it. It's like being at home, right? If you're feeling connected to God and others at the moment, I want you to go and pray for those people who aren't feeling connected. Does that make sense? And if no one needs anything, we'll move on and have afternoon tea and morning tea. And that'll be awesome, okay? But let's just, let's engage. You know, I was watching last, I often do this while I'm messing with sermons. And at the moment, I've just been into elevation worship. Have you ever Googled some elevation worship? It's amazing. But you know what? God calls us not to be spectators, but worshippers. So I want to invite you to be a worshiper right now. Okay, to say to God, whatever you need to say, whatever you need to say, and know that he's hearing you. You might say, God, I feel so lonely. It's almost like I feel dead. Just tell him that. And he will meet you there and lead you into something richer, into relationship with him and relationship with people that care. Anyway, if you need connection this morning, take the opportunity now to come and kneel. Also, if you want to come and just kneel and pray about anything, you're welcome to. That's what the mercy seat's all about. But also, so if you're coming praying for someone, you're feeling connected, you're feeling God's love this morning, you want to pray for someone, just check what they want prayer for before you just assume too. It's probably really important, okay? Well, let's just enjoy the freedom of the Spirit in the room today. And let's stand, hey? Can we stand? I think it's important that we engage in some way. Tell our body that we're going to engage in this time. And let's worship, let's pray, let's seek the Lord, let's come forward if we need to.